Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa is dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Rockets and Bucks, that's where we're going to start. The much anticipated pairing of James Harden and Russell Westbrook, taking on last year's MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. Didn't exactly go according to billing, at least for the Rockets. Giannis fouled out with more than 5 minutes left, but not before dropping 30 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists in his triple-double. Russ was efficient, led the Rockets with 24. Harden wasn't. 2 of 13 from the floor. Bucks go on to take this 117-111. All right, guys, this is what we wanted to see. What were these two going to look like out on the floor? How are they going to be able to play together? Who's going to control the ball more? CeCe, I'll start with you. Will the pairing of Harden and Russ work for Houston despite dropping that first game?
Well, I believe it works from a functional basketball standpoint because both of them are outstanding. But there will be some limitations and there will be some issues. Last night wasn't one of those. Harden just couldn't hit his shot last night. But Russ, because he's such a great rebounder, Russ can get the ball when he wants to. Even though Harden talks about he can get any shot that he wants to, yeah, that's true. So Russ's ability to rebound, that puts the ball in his hands more than a guard typically would be able to have it. But the overall continuity, they had a huge lead in this game. They played, even with Harden being off for 3.5 quarters, the way the Rockets would want to play. But life is about expectations. And with Houston right now, with the team they have, and as well as they've played the last 3 years, it's about a championship. So for me, I'd have to say no, because I don't believe they're good enough to win a championship. Don't believe they're good enough defensively. And you could see that yesterday in losing a 16-point lead.
Well, I don't know if the Rockets can win a championship, but I think last night was, despite the loss, despite blowing a 16-point halftime lead, I think the Houston Rockets, the front office, the coaching staff, the players, have to be thrilled with what happened last night, aside from the final result. Because you saw Harden and Russ combined for 23 rebounds and 21 assists. You saw when the starting five was out there, the Rockets were dominant. In just 16 minutes of the starting five altogether, they outscored the Bucks by 11. In the 32 minutes where it was any other lineup combination, they were outscored by 17. And Chris's point is, what happened last night was James Harden had what will be, at the end of the season, one of his single worst shooting nights of the year. He could not hit a shot, and he seemed stubborn about it. And that's, I think, what he was alluding to.
What do you mean stubborn?
He wouldn't go to the basket. He was like, I'm going to keep shooting until my shot starts falling, and it never started falling. And that's how you can lose to the Bucks, even though Giannis fouls out. Giannis had been brilliant up until the moment he fouls out, but once he fouls out, that's when the Rockets should be able to retake control of the game, and they weren't able to. The only real concern for me for the Rockets in the short term from last night is James Harden has lived on how he's officiated the last few years. He leads the league in free throw attempts every year. He has more four-point play attempts than teams combined. Last night, the NBA, whether they were trying to or not, sent a message to James Harden. Not only are we not going to give you the calls on those three-point attempts, we're going to call you for not just push-offs, but he got two offensive fouls where the foul was initiated with his shoulder, where he wasn't even extending the elbow. It was just his shoulder. If that continues, Harden is going to have to adjust. But I did think, see, you saw what could be some of the best of Russ getting the rebound, getting out in transition, Harden giving go. You saw them already getting on the same page in that regard.
Yeah, you see them trying to go out of their way. The thing that they have going for them is they are really friends off the court. So you're going to try to sacrifice. But ultimately, this is Harden's team. And neither one of these players, if you talk about what their weaknesses is, it's on the defensive end and also playing off the ball. So that will be an issue. You don't play your whole career playing the way they have, being ball dominant, and then now all of a sudden you become great off the ball. That's the difference between them and Steph Curry. Steph can still get get a shot if he's not dribbling it. These guys are going to have to work. They're going to have to compromise. But ultimately, both of them have to change their game for this to work.
And to your point, see, Russell Westbrook said after the game, with regards to how he was playing and how Harden was playing, look, that's why I'm here. I'm here to create shots for James Harden. But the pace last night seemed a little faster than we're used to for a normal Rockets game. Is that the strategy they're looking to keep throughout the season?
Well, if you're going to get the best out of Russell Westbrook, you're going to have to, especially on possessions where he gets the defensive rebound. There was a hell of a lot of those last night because in the game he had 16 rebounds, 12 of them defensively. You got to let him get out and go. The benefit of having a point guard who can rebound the way he does is he can start a secondary fast break even if it's not a situation where you would expect a secondary fast break. So yeah, they're going to, when Russ is on the court, they are going to play a faster pace than Rockets teams have in the past, particularly when Russ is on the court without James Harden. The other thing that I saw last night from Russ, and which is why I think Russ is going to, might not average a triple-double, but he's going to have as much fun playing basketball this year as he has had in recent memory, is there is more spacing for him to slash to the basket than he has had at any point in his career. Even when he was with KD in Oklahoma City, aside from Kevin Durant, they didn't have the full complement of shooters that they have in Houston, see, and you could see Russ taking advantage of that already.
Yeah, they do have more shooters, but they also don't have as many guys to run the court. You make a great point about the 12 defensive rebounds, but a lot of time, he was on a one-man, yes, out-of-control fast break. What they do is run to the three-point lines compared to running in transition and trying to get an easy bucket. So I believe, you know, their coaching staff, they will make the type of adjustments because they haven't had a point guard like Russ, even though they've had Chris Paul, even though they've had Harden. Those guys don't defensive rebound an awful lot, and they weren't big at pushing the pace that Jenna talked about.
All right, so we'll talk about Giannis and the Bucks a little bit later. But in short, this new pairing, this once again, Russ and Harden, did it work? Do you think this is something
we're going to
see
work? I think that the Rockets, if Harden has a good offensive game or even an average offensive game, I think the Rockets would have looked like the best offense in basketball last night. I think they're going to finish the year as the best offense in basketball. Chris's skepticism about will it work in the postseason is totally fair, and by the way, it's all that matters in Houston.
Sure.
But in the meantime, I think this is going to be a very, very difficult team to beat. And losing to the Milwaukee Bucks, is there's no shame in that.
Right.
They had more wins than any team in basketball last year.
All right, we got to take a break.
And did you guys see Russ's outfit before the game? I mean, he had that moving outfit, that like a cargo, something. I don't know where that came from.
I think he's going to have 82 unique outfits for all 82 games of the regular
season. Yeah, but now he's got to compete with Russ because now he's got two guys with interesting
both of them,
tapes,
absolutely. Hey guys, Nick Wright here to talk about Lightstream credit card bills. Every month you get them with multiple payments and multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be easier to just have one payment at a lower rate? Well, you can with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. And you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Just for First Things First listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/FTF. That's lightstream.com/FTF. Of course, subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/FTF for more information.
All right, moving on to the Dallas Cowboys. Yesterday, they acquired defensive end and Super Bowl champ Michael Bennett from the Patriots for a conditional 7th-round pick. Remember, Bennett had some philosophical differences with some members of the Patriots coaching staff in New England, and that never ends well for the player. See, how much does this trade bolster the Cowboys' defense now?
It really gives him some help on the defensive line that has had some struggles. He's one of the most versatile defensive linemen that we have. That means he can play interior, defensive tackle. He can also move out on the edge, do a lot of line stunts. Really smart football player. Also, at the end of his career, a guy that's been traded three times in about a year, you look for him to be able to help out this Dallas team. Jerry Jones made the call. He's getting them relatively cheap, basically a sixth or a seventh round pick, depending on how well he plays. But it's a needed boost to a defensive line that could use someone that has the versatility that he brings. Jerry Jones wanted to know one thing in making this trade. Will he stand for the national anthem? Once he got the right answer, that being yes, he said, well, we'd love to have him in Dallas. He's from Dallas, so looking to end his career on a high note.
Well, so listen, as far as all these trades that have happened, a bit of a flurry of trades over the last couple weeks, this is the best value any team got, and it's not close. A player of Michael Bennett's caliber for, at worst, a sixth-round pick and maybe a seventh-round pick is elite value for the Dallas Cowboys. And Chris's point on the versatility, I know we think of Michael Bennett as a defensive end, and you might say, well, they've got Robert Quinn who's playing well and DeMarcus Lawrence who's playing well. Is it going to be? He can play D-tackle. Mm-hmm. You can have all three of those guys on the field at the same time. And His production sacks-wise last few years has been good but not great. But his production on quarterback knockdowns, hits, hurries, pressures, those have all been in the upper 10th percentile, if you will, in the NFL, which is why it's so perplexing to me. And I don't know what the story is here. But three of the smartest franchises in the league over the last 18 months have given him away. Seattle traded him for a fifth to Philly, who then traded him for a fifth to New England, who then traded him for a seventh to the Dallas Cowboys. So there must be something, either a locker room lawyer.
Nick, I can explain this to you.
Yes, please.
Pete Carroll. They were moving off the old group. Mm-hmm. Richard Sherman, my man, the safety, Earl Thomas. Cam Chancellor was retiring. So that whole group was leaving out, and they needed that money to be able to go out and try to participate in free agency. Okay. Philadelphia had decided with Brandon Graham, they gave him a new contract. They had already paid Fletcher Cox. He was talking about, I need more money. I'm just as good as these guys. So Philadelphia had to trade him. In New England, it boils down to this. You're not going to talk to me that way.
Right.
All right? You're not going to talk to me that way. I'm a grown man. I got championship experience. All right? I played a long time in this league, and I deserve more respect than he was getting from his coaches there. That's why he ends up in Dallas. Not excuses, but that's what's happened to him over the last year. Seattle to Philly, Philadelphia to New England, and New England now to Dallas.
Back here, first things first, we're joined by former NFL quarterback Danny Cannell.
What's going on?
Danny,
how we doing?
Welcome to the show. Great to have you here. So we're glad you're here. The one thing we've been discussing all week, which no one can come to agreement on, is Patrick Mahomes and whether or not he should play this week. Last week, he dislocated his kneecap. At the time, it was expected he was going to miss a couple of weeks, at least. But he was back at practice on Wednesday and then again yesterday. Yesterday, he took reps with the second team as the Chiefs prepare for the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. Now, Mahomes' offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, said, quote, Pat looked like Pat. So, Danny, I ask you, should Patrick Mahomes play this Sunday against the Green Bay Packers?
First of all, let me say it's outstanding that we're even having this discussion after the panic that set in for NFL fans, Chiefs fans, when that Thursday night when he went up in that heap. Having said that, I think it would be absolutely asinine to send him out there this quickly after an injury like that. That was as scary as it was. He has to be 100% without question normal. You know, fully healed, absolutely nothing remaining from that knee injury. If that's the case, that's a different discussion. But the Patrick Mahomes that I see these clips of practice looking a little bit hesitant, there's a slight limp in there. I would not in no way, shape, or form have him out in the field.
I would go even a step further than that, and I know Chris feels differently.
Both of you are crazy.
No matter how he looks this week, it wouldn't be available to him. Because we also know he's not just dealing with the knee. He's been dealing with the ankle all year. This is an opportunity for the ankle to get right. The offensive line, we don't know if the offensive line, the left guard and left tackle, are going to be fully back or not. We also know that the Chiefs, because of what's going on in the AFC, the Texans lost last week, the Raiders lost last week, they do have them, and the Chiefs, without Patrick, were able to beat the Denver Broncos in going away, so they didn't all of a sudden keep them alive in the division. They have a bit of a margin. I know Patty is going to want to get out there, and the fact that he was fourth team reps on Wednesday and now second team reps yesterday, so he seems to be being allowed to do more and more. But the only way this Chiefs season ends in disaster is not a first-round playoff exit. That's not it. The only way this Chiefs season ends in disaster is if what I thought happened a week ago yesterday happens, which is Patrick Mahomes suffers an injury that could alter the trajectory of his career. I know that's available to you at all times when you play football.
Of course.
But it's obviously more available to you if you are not fully mobile with a maligned offensive line against a very good Green Bay pass rush. So I wouldn't give him the opportunity to play this week. I am starting to become open to the idea of next week, even though I had initially said the Titans game would be the first one. But this week would be a no-go for me, see?
Yeah, for me, I think you guys are really not looking at some of the facts. And the fact of the matter is, yes, he did dislocate his knee. Are we used to players dislocating their knee? No, we're not. But when we see him come back and he's available to do some light jogging on Wednesday, regardless of what your perspective is on a dislocated kneecap, obviously this was not a bad injury because the training staff would not jeopardize even having him out there in a knee brace running and everything. To explain why he went from fourth team reps to second team reps is because they're trying to put a game plan in and Patty can't go full speed right now. So they have Matt Moore in there so they can go at full speed so they can get the timing so they decide what they're going to have in the game plan on Friday. Patty Mahomes doesn't need those reps. He just needs to be able to show the training staff and the coaching staff that he's mobile enough that he can protect himself. That's what this game is about when you're a quarterback and you have a lower leg injury. The league is already protecting you because no one can hit you in the pocket, waistline or lower, so they're going to protect him. So for me, it's not about making the decision I'm going to play Sunday. It's about, can I be available for Wednesday's practice? And if I can, I try to do a little bit more on Thursday, try to do a little more on Friday. I don't make up my mind I'm going to play until I've been through these steps. Now, Danny Cannell, I remember you when you were real, when you were younger. And growing up in South Florida, who was the quarterbacks that you grew up liking, Danny Cannell?
Dan Marino, number 13.
Okay,
GOAT.
Do you think Dan Marino would have played with this type of injury?
I think he would have outstanding medical advice, as my dad was the team doctor at the time. But
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that.
But I would also say the same way that what Dan Marino meant to that Dolphins franchise, I think you might have to take Don Shula would have stepped in, although he was old school as it gets. He might have said, go ahead and out there and play. You have to look long term. And this is a different era, CC, that we are talking about. It's hard.
What's the difference?
Well, the money that's involved, first of all, is astronomically more. I also think the fact that they do have this lead in the division does have to matter. If this is a playoff game or a game late in the season where maybe there's a chance for home field and something's at stake that's meaningful, then yes, then I think it's a different conversation. But because of where you are in the season, because Andy Reid has had a successful background with backup quarterbacks, he was 11-5, his backups were when he was in Philly. You have a good backup. You still have incredible weapons on offense. It's okay to buy an extra week of rest with Patrick Mahomes.
No, Danny, I'm so glad to have you because Danny's dad is a world-renowned doctor. Part of my career, he was my doctor. He's amazing. And the relationship between a player and the doctor's got to build trust to the player that he's going to tell him the truth. Patty Mahomes has been telling the staff, I'm healthy enough that we can put a knee brace on me. That should show you that he's making progress. Obviously, he didn't have a great deal of swelling, so I do understand. Danny Cannell's dad, I would be working with him. But at the end of the day, once he clears me, it's up to me and the coaching staff. And I don't believe that they're making a mistake by having him out there. I just always tell people, I leave it up to my body. And if my body is ready, I'm going to try to push it and be there for my teammates. I've seen quarterbacks for the last 30 years put knee braces on in some form or fashion go out there. The game is not different. All right? Patty Mahomes, even if he shatters his knee, Nick, he's going to get $200 million. If not in Kansas City, somewhere okay, else. So he is that type of talent.
I don't even want to throw that out there.
He is that type of talent.
I agree with you. Listen, there is no injury short of a career ender that's going to change the offer the Chiefs make to him this offseason. I don't think Patrick's going to play on Sunday, and I don't want him to play. But Chris made a point yesterday off the air while we were walking from this building next door to our office that you haven't made yet today. But I want to make for you because it is, I think, an interesting one and one to think about. Chris said to me, he goes, Nick, best case scenario for you, well, how does Patrick Mahomes' career end? I said, with him being one of, if not the greatest quarterback ever, him having a handful of MVPs, a handful of Super Bowl trophies, and being a Pantheon player. And I think he has the talent for it. And Chris said, he goes, the guys who do that, they have moments like this. They have the, whether it's the MJ flu game or the Brett Favre, game after his father passed away, the Monday Night Football. You have these iconic moments, to steal a line from WWE. Good God, that's Patrick Mahomes' music. We're on national television against Aaron Rodgers when 10 days prior his kneecap was being relocated.
Yep.
He takes the field. And that, medically, that doesn't sway me, but sports storyline-wise, as far as what is going to be the story of Patrick Mahomes' career, that was a compelling point that I want to give, because I hadn't thought about it from that perspective. That guys that, and Patrick, by the way, I'm sure thinks, yeah, I'm going to be one of those guys.
Yep.
One of the greatest who's ever done it, and this is going to be part of my story here.
Yeah, I think both of you make great points. I think you leave yourself the opportunity. I'm not trying to say be reckless. I'm not trying to say do something that I wouldn't do. But I would give myself a chance. And I'm not saying this to say this, but being out there with my teammates, it means something to me. Them guys knowing they could depend on me, it means something to me. Because the guards, the centers, the tight ends, they got knee injuries. They got ankle injuries. And you know what happens to them? Ain't nobody sitting around saying, hey, man, you should take a couple weeks off. I like them guys to know, regardless of what the money is, regardless of what my status is, I'm going to be out there playing ball with you if I can.
I love it. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes has that attitude too, but quarterbacks are different than all those guys that CC mentioned.
Yeah, y'all saw.
No, you got to protect them. I will say this. I think he has those moments in spades. Let's just see it play out over the next 10 years. We don't need to see it this week.
Yeah, and stop talking about someone else signing Patrick Mahomes to a contract. How dare you?
That was your issue, not the knee broken in 200 pieces?
He's going to play his whole career for the Kansas City Chiefs.
With Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals, you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp, restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 and use code FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 at factormeals.com/FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor.
All right, here we go. Kawhi and the Clippers in the Bay to face the Warriors in their new arena. The Claw poured in 21 points in 21 minutes, leading the Clippers to a big win. Steph Curry scored 23 points. He also turned the ball over 8 times, and he missed 9 three-pointers. Here's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr after the game.
I mean, this is not a one-off. This is the reality. There's going to be nights like this year. So you got to play through it, and you got to keep fighting and keep getting better.
I'm not a moral victory type of guy. I'm not leaving this game looking for something to build off on. We suck. And we got to get better.
Nick, you laughed throughout that entire
Well, just listen, Steve Kerr just flatly saying, hey, man, y'all get ready. This is about to be rough. Yeah. I've never heard a coach say that
after the first game.
And Draymond saying, I'm not a moral victory guy. Yeah, Draymond, you were minus 35 in 28 minutes. Like, of course, there's not many moral victories to take from it. Now, as far as the, what did you want to ask me about overall? I apologize.
Is it more than likely looking pretty good? They will not make the playoffs this year?
I won't go that far. I know a lot of people are going to say today that the Warriors are not going to make the playoffs. The problem is, if you have them out, who is taking their place? I feel like we are all very confident there are six teams that are going to be in the Western Conference playoffs. Lakers, Clippers, Houston, Utah, Denver are five, to me, mortal locks. And Portland is a very close to a mortal lock. So there's six of them. Those other two remaining spots, I think the Warriors are getting one of them. I picked the Warriors to get one of them. Now, they're going to have to do it through Steph being special. And that, C, was the most concerning part of last night.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't.
Was not their defense. Because the defense, they're not going to give up 140 a night, but that's going to be a bottom six, bottom seven defense in all of basketball. The way to overcome that is Steph to be an MVP candidate. As we said, we thought he had the potential to be. Steph playing that poorly and looking that overwhelmed at times, if that continues, then of course they won't make the playoffs. But in the NBA, if you've got a top five guy, you make the NBA playoffs if the guy's healthy throughout the year. That's why I'm still betting on the Warriors to make it to the tournament.
Well, typically, Nick, when you have a top guy, you don't have some of the deficiencies that they have on the other side. If you look at him and D'Angelo Russell, I'm with you. I don't believe this is a good fit long term. They were minus 32 overall when they were on the court together. So you know with them being in the backcourt, you're going to be challenged defensively. But the Clippers took a page out of what they did in the playoffs. Not the Clippers, but other teams to the Warriors when they had injuries. They were double-teaming Steph around half court. He was forced into some bad threes. And with all those defenders around them, they forced him into those turnovers. So, Steve Kerr, I know you've had a great job the last several years, Steve, just looking up and down, watching your team win, not saying nothing. You're going to have to earn your money this year. You're going to have to come up with some schemes. You're going to have to come up with something offensively to be able to get guys involved. But Draymond Green, Draymond shouldn't say we sucked. He need to look in the mirror. Draymond Green was awful. And Nick, you had some stat of Draymond Green outside of 7 or 8 feet?
Last year, Draymond Green, not outside of 18 feet, outside of 8 feet, was 29% from the field. Now, we were just knocking Ben Simmons. If Ben Simmons took those shots, he wouldn't be much worse than 29%, and at least he can get to the rim. Like, Draymond got that big contract courtesy of my guy Rich Ball and Clutch Sports, and he's going to have to earn it this year by anchoring what will be a substandard defense and getting back to some of that playmaker role that he was so good at a few years ago.
And for those who are thinking Steph Curry, he should be in the conversation for MVP, Nick, I don't think his body's going to be able to take it. When you look at the wear and tear, the way they were trapping him, the way he was having to run off the ball, like even watching his body language, there were times during the game he was exhausted like this was a playoff game. So I don't know, with Klay probably missing most of the season at best, Steph's going to put up big numbers, but as far as MVP, his team's not going to be a top four seed. I don't think that's going to be on the board for Steph this year, his third MVP.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because when we were talking about the start of the season earlier this week, we said there was really one path for the Warriors to be successful, playoff bound, all of it, and that was, well, Steph's going to have to play lights out every night. And I said, well, Steph usually doesn't have to play in the regular season. He doesn't have to be that successful. And you said, well, he's a superstar, and he's absolutely going to have to. Well, there's got to be another way. If it's not going to only go through Steph, you saw game one, he wasn't a superstar.
No.
Give me another way.
There's no other way.
Really?
Do you know, guys who got big minutes last night, Glenn Robinson III, Eric Pascal. It turns out the Marquez Chris and Eric Pascal, that duo replacing Kevin Durant, that ain't great. And it's not good for your basketball team. It is all about Steph. And this is exciting. And people think I'm a Steph critic. I didn't love the Warriors once they added Durant, that thing.
Sure.
I'm excited to see Steph is a one-man show. because he has been, by everyone other than Michael Jordan, myself included, elevated into pantheon discussion for the league. And we've seen these other guys. We saw Duncan when he had Robinson. We saw Duncan before they had Manu and Parker as great players. We saw Duncan in different spots. We saw Michael Jordan, even though they didn't have playoff success, before Pippen got there, average 37 a game and get his team to the postseason. We've seen LeBron on super teams and on what Chris calls the four pieces of paper team, his last year in Cleveland. And we've seen those guys be successful. We've seen Harden with a star next to him by himself, top two MVP in both situations. Now we get to see Steph without the second greatest shooter all time alongside him, who he's always had, without a league MVP alongside him, who he's had the last 3 years. And this is a big year for Steph. I don't want to be unfair, but I don't think I'm being unfair. This is a big year for Steph Curry's legacy, because if they go 32-50, because he doesn't have enough help, that then when you're talking about, is he the second greatest point guard of all time? Well, I know my guy Isaiah Thomas would say, I played on some teams that looked a lot like this Warriors team. We didn't go 32-50. And so there, it is important for Steph that he doesn't carry him to a championship, but that he carries them to a playoff berth. At least for me, that is an important part of how we're going to remember this part of Steph's career, see?
And one thing, too, we have to realize is every night they're not going to be facing the Clippers.
Yep.
Top to bottom, the Clippers, man on, I mean, they are the best defensive team that we're probably going to have in the NBA, them and the Philadelphia 76ers. But last night, what I thought was really, really intriguing was Patrick Beverley went right back to that junkyard dog mentality that he went in the playoffs with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, it only affected him for a short period of time, and then he just went to just annihilating him and just went on the attack offensively. Last night, they went after Steph, and with no Klay and no KD, Steph didn't have no fight in him. He tried to get into a chit-chat with them, but I just want to see how teams come after Steph this year, because it's easy to have swag when you got Klay, you got Draymond, you got KD, but now you by yourself. Let's see what you got, bruh. So this is, I believe, a very, very revealing year for Steph Curry as far as his legacy.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.